First John chapter 1. And I think I misstated my title last Sunday. It's not the sword of God's love, it's the sword and God's love. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. We're on the sixth sword. And remember what the main subject of Romans chapter 8, mainly verses 27 through 39, the main subject of this passage is the love of God.
Yes, sir.
It's the love of God. And I want to back up for just a moment. I left off with the fact that the love of God, or love, this love, spiritual love, the love that the Scripture speaks of, that love that is often, the word that's usually used is agape, not philios. It's agape. It's not an emotion. It's a state of being. With God, it's a covenant relationship that God purposed with His people. That's love. There's the other word philios, which means to be fond, to like. You know, there's another Greek word for love, and it has to do with sensuality and lust. It's never used in the Scripture. The concept is certainly spoken of, but the word is never used in the common Greek. But it is love. And I want to back up, but let me restate some of what I stated last week. We'll get to this fact that there is, or this truth, that there's an order to love. And to state it again, God doesn't love us because we love Him. It's vice versa. Yeah. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
And that's not just a chronological order. Now, when I say there's an order to this love, I don't mean simply a chronological order. It's not God loved us, then we, after that, loved Him. No, there is an order to this love.
Yes, sir.
We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
And I don't want to go into that because I want to back up for a moment. And let me go to the third point under here. That is, God's love is revealed in Christ. We see that in verse 39 of Romans 8. And I said that this love is exercised by Christ. Verse 35. And this love is securing. It is the securing, bonding character of the good, of the elect's good. All things work together for good, not because we love God.
No.
That's not what it says.
Yes, sir.
It says we know all things work together for good to them that love God, not
Amen.
Because we love God. God's love for us is preeminent.
Amen.
It's primary. It is first, and it is determinative.
Yes, sir.
That's what I meant. That's the word I could use, and that's what's meant by John when he said, we love Him because He first loved us. It is cause and effect.
Yes, sir.
Now, under this subject of love, I stated this. Number one, there is no love of God for any man or woman outside of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Most people are under the impression, at best, God loves everybody in a general way. And then He has even this more deeper, intimate love for those who believe. That's the way, at best. Okay, at best. But the Scripture does not allow for us to hold to anything near that.
Exactly.
Those God loves are brought by God to love Him. And He does not love everyone. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated.
Amen.
Secondly, all whom God loves in Christ, all whom God loves, rather, He loves in Christ by Christ. There is no love of God for any human being outside of Jesus Christ. It's not God loved me, so He placed me in Christ. He loved us even as the elect and the elect only. David, before I was ever born, before I was ever regenerated, Before I was ever converted, God loved me, but he only loved me in Christ.
Amen.
Okay? It's not that he loved me and then purposed to put me in Christ. He loved us in Christ.
Amen.
Under this, because of this truth, all whom God loves, he loves in Christ. These things are true. None of them, none of these people that are loved by God can be separated from the love of God for any reason. I'm here to say to each one of us here this morning that is loved by God, that no matter what comes your way, God Almighty brought it your way, and he did so in love. Even when he corrects us, what is it, Hebrews chapter 12? Even when he corrects us, and the word is chastisement, and the reason it is chastisement and not simply correction is because with the chastisement there is pain.
Yes, sir.
There is difficulty. But even when God chastises, how is it said that he does it?
Yeah.
In love.
Amen.
Everyone I love, I chasten. Amen. Revelation. Those I love, I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So no matter what comes your way, if you are in Christ, and that's if you are in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I will say, just because you've made a profession, just because you've been baptized, just because you join a local assembly, just because you believe certain doctrines, doesn't prove that you're in Christ.
That's it.
That's the difficult part.
You're right.
Well, we can even be doctrinally correct about it. Well, all this has happened to me. And God did it all. I figure Judas felt that way, at least in the beginning.
Yeah.
Who chose Judas?
Yeah.
Christ did.
Yeah.
Did he not? Judas didn't choose Christ. Christ chose him.
Yes, sir.
I don't say that to try to destroy anyone's assurance. I will use that word. I try to say that because the scripture doesn't make assurance some blank check. You just put your name on it, then everything's yours. Peter put it this way, that we are to give diligence, but rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
The only way I can know whether I'm truly elect is if I've truly been called. And isn't that what Romans 8 says? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, but it is qualified to them who are the called, and even that's qualified. Called how? Called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Now I said this, and this is what I want to try to zero in on, and let me turn to it, 1 John chapter 1. I made this statement. Christ intercedes for all of these people. That's all the elect, all whom he loves. Christ intercedes for them all at all times. And I wrote down at first, even when we sin. That's true. But then I put a line through it, and I left it there. I put a line through that, and I wrote right above that, no, not just even when we sin, especially when we sin. Because there are people who think, well, true, it's true. Nothing can separate you from the love of God except for sin. Because after all, doesn't the scripture say our sins is that which has separated us from God? And you know what? That's true. But it's also just as true and valid that Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for my sin.
Amen.
My sin and my sins is and are the one thing and the many things that cannot separate me from God.
Amen.
It is included in Romans chapter 8.
Yes,
because it is not only Christ that died, but yea, rather, that is also risen, who even makes intercession for us.
Amen.
Now I thought I need to stop for a little while, for a moment or two, at least this message. Let me put this second and third one together here. I said, Christ intercedes for them all at all times. especially when we sin. And the reason I say that is because of this verse. It's actually, I'll go to 1 John 1, but it's in 1 John 2. Now let's read that. If you turn to 1 John 1, you're probably already there. But, my little children, these things write unto you, what? That you sin not. What did I say last week concerning that?
Yeah.
The Scripture never, ever gives us license to sin.
Exactly.
The Scripture never, ever excuses sin.
That's right.
Though sin is a God-ordained, necessary evil in this universe. If God had not purposed for sin to exist, it would not, David, exist. It would not exist. So I say Christ intercedes for them all at all times. But I'm saying also Christ intercedes for them all because he died for them all. Because he dies for us all, he is actively engaged in pleading not our case, but his case. See, most people think of the advocate in purely human terms.
Yeah.
What does an advocate do for you if you go get one? He pleads your cause.
Yeah.
He pleads your case.
Yep.
You don't want God pleading your case.
Exactly.
I don't want God pleading my case. It is Christ that died. That's the grounds. Yea, rather, that is what? Risen again. Who makes intercession, not because I'm putting forth a good effort.
Yeah.
Sadly, I probably at times don't even put forth my best effort.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. How many times, David, you put forth your best effort. But even our righteousnesses.
Exactly.
That's our best efforts, right?
Yeah.
Even they are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
And our Lord clearly instructed the disciples, and it's sound instruction for us as well, even when we've done all that's required of us. That's even if you did.
Yeah.
He's not arguing the point there.
No.
Even when you've done all that you've been commanded to do, what are we still to confess?
Yeah.
I am but an unprofitable servant.
Amen.
Now the reason I know this is true, let me go on. My little children, these things write unto you, what? First of all, that ye sin not. Do not ever use God's sovereignty as an excuse for your sin.
Exactly.
It is never an excuse. And let me tell you something. Don't use another sinner's sinfulness as an excuse for your sin either.
That's right.
Well, my. Well, who are you to tell me that that's wrong? You've done the same thing. If they're telling you God says it's wrong, then it's wrong even if they've done it a million times.
Yes, sir.
That's just the facts. Now, we might not like it that God uses sinners just like we are to bring us the message of our sin.
Yeah.
Right? We don't like that. But you know what? That's the way God's ordained it.
Exactly.
You know that?
Yes, sir.
But the point is, when I stand here and I tell you the Scripture says this is a sin, that's a sin. These things are sin. I'm not telling you my opinion.
Exactly.
Even if I'm guilty of the sins myself, if God says this is a sin, it's a what? It's a sin.
Amen.
And Jesus says, my little children, these things write unto you, first of all, that you sin not.
Yeah.
But what else? And if, and one of the most blessed and ifs that's in the Bible. And if any man, but notice, I mean, this is important. Some people don't care.
Exactly.
They don't care about order. They don't care about truth. All they care about is about religious phrases.
Yeah.
Read from the Bible and then say whatever you want. As long as it sounds holy, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Notice it says, and if any man does what? If any man sin,
yep,
we have an advocate. So who has an advocate? Yeah. Good people or bad people? Bad people have an advocate.
Exactly.
If you're a good person, you don't need an advocate.
Exactly.
You see, that's why you don't use this word advocate and just simply run to Webster's, see what Webster says about an advocate, and then apply God's truth through Webster. That ain't the way it works.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, if you go to court and you have a lawyer, he's your advocate, do you want him pleading your sin for you? Do you want your lawyer actually saying, yes, this man broke the law, but he was sincere? Sadly, I believe some of our courts are coming to that, have come to that.
Yeah.
No, but what this says is, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
And I thought about going on to verse 2 some more, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's stop. Why was this statement made?
Yeah.
The statement is made because of this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Amen.
You see, I don't need somebody pleading my cause. I need someone pleading their cause in spite of myself. That's what I need. Why? Because I can't say I have no sin. I can't. If I say that, what am I?
Yeah.
I'm deceived myself.
Yeah.
And the truth, what does that say?
Yeah.
The truth left you? It doesn't say that, does it? Does it say you've fallen from the truth? It doesn't even say that, does it? You have backslid from the truth? You've moved away from the truth? That's not what it says, does it? If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth, it ain't in you.
Amen.
Right? That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
We are not talking about mere possibilities here. We're not talking about what we ought to do.
Yeah.
There's a couple of phrases where John talks about what we ought to do. We'll look at that later. We ought to love one another. And somebody says, well, see, we just ought to. You best read the rest of it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That next verse, which you quoted, Joe, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that's begotten of him, everyone loveth him that is begotten of him.
Amen.
So it's not an ought of possibility, it's an ought of divine decree.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference there.
Exactly.
If I say I have no sin, now to get an idea of what is John meaning here. In other words, if I say I've never stole something, that's not what he's talking about.
Ooh.
The reason I know it's deeper than that, it's more profound than that, is because look at what he says in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, John speaks of two companion yet separate things here. Okay? They're related, they're hooked together, but they're separate. One is, if I say I have no sin, what's he talking about there? He's talking about my total depravity, my sinfulness, my state of being. Okay? If I say I have no sin nature, that's the way we would state it. That's what John's talking about. And if it's not only that, if we say we have not what? Sinned. Then we actually, Mason, miss the mark. But notice which he mentions first. Because the sins, the actions, flow from the sin, the character. So if I don't say I have no sin, I deceive myself, the truth's not in me. If I say I have not sinned, we make who a liar?
Yeah.
We make God a liar because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We're calling God's word a lie, which is to call God a liar.
That's right.
If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So is there ever going to be a time when I can say I have not sinned? Never.
That's it.
Not if you're in him and he's brought you to know it.
Exactly.
Not if you're in him. Is there ever going to come a time when I can say in my life, now don't say, well, when I get to heaven. Not talking about heaven, we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Is there ever time I can say I'm not depraved? No, never. Because if I say I have, no. See the difference? But isn't it amazing that right smack dab in the middle of those two companion things is this phrase. If we confess our sins. Now let me say this. You're not going to really know what sinfulness is apart from sins. You don't really know what sinfulness is apart from sins. The law doesn't speak against sinfulness. It speaks against what? Sins. Particular, individual transgressions against God.
Yes, sir.
And the law was given for the knowledge of what? Sin.
Amen.
You don't really know what sin is apart from sins. But there is no possibility of sins apart from sin. I commit sins because I am sinful. But Scripture tells me if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what I want to try to deal with, and I've got 15 minutes, what I want to try to deal with is the confession of sins. Because as I went back through this past week and began to, well, as I was taken this past week in my mind back to this, I thought most people have no real idea what it means to confess your sins. Did you know that?
Right.
You bear with me a minute. What John is saying here is if we acknowledge our sins.
Yes, sir.
If we confess is a fine word, but what do most of us think of when we talk about confession? Well, we looked at the fifth sword. We think of some public thing, right?
Yeah.
We talked about public confession of Christ. There is one group of people that have in their, it's not just in their doctrine, this is their way of belief, this is their standard, this is what they live by. They have what they call mortal, and what is it, venial sins.
Yep.
Spiritually deadly sins, and then other sins are not quite so bad. Now, we accuse the Roman Catholics of having these things, you know, holding to this, and they do. But you know what? So does most everyone else as well.
Exactly.
Don't we? We have our mortal and venial sins.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Because we usually say when we're caught in lying, well, at least I ain't never killed nobody.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. If we don't say it, that goes through our mind.
Yeah.
I see it even where I work. Somebody can go out and kill another man, but you kill a child,
yeah,
or you molest a child, and you're the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
They will even hunt them down to kill them.
Yes, sir.
Because at least I'm not that bad.
Exactly.
You see? At least I've not done that. And almost, somebody's got to be at the end of the list. I understand that. You know, when we do it that way, somebody's got to be at the end of the list. But most every one of us can always point to someone else that's done certain sins that's worse than the ones we've done. So that lets me know I'm no better than the Roman Catholics. You know, because I do the same thing. In my mind. My depraved heart and mind, I do the same thing. But after all, at least, but you know, those Roman Catholics, they have that auricular confession, you see. You know what auricular means? I had to look that up. It ain't because I just knew all that. It's auricular. You know what that means? It means in the ear. Okay? It has to do with it's a part of the ear, a part of that word is. Auricular. You know what that means? It means to confess in the ear. Well, what do Roman Catholics do? They go to confessional. It's called a place where you confess your sins.
Yeah.
And you know what you have to do? Or what you're at least supposed to do?
Yeah.
If you do it right, you are to confess your sins specifically,
yeah,
and minutely,
yeah,
in great detail. Right? But after all, that's what those Roman Catholics do, right?
Yeah.
That's what they go do to the priest. Well, let me tell you, Baptists expect that too.
Yeah,
don't they? And you'll have people come forward before the church and stand up and start rattling off a list of their sins. Don't they?
Yeah.
And they think that they are doing verse 9 of 1 John 1.
Exactly.
They're confessing their sins, right? As if, you know, let me tell you something. You and I don't understand, we don't even know all of the sins we're guilty of. John is not talking about making out a list.
That's right.
You know what's amazing? Our Lord illustrated by two men, a Pharisee and a publican.
Yeah.
And the one man said, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men are.
Yeah.
You know that? And most of us feel pretty good because we're not like the Pharisee.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
But let me tell you, just being a publican doesn't make you okay. Notice what the publican did not say. He did not say, God, I thank you, I'm not like the Pharisee.
Yeah.
did he?
That's it.
Huh? And did the publican start publicly confessing all his sins? What did he say? No. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner.
Amen.
That's confessing your sin.
See,
God don't need you and I to set off and rattle off a list of what we did today. He knows what, no, he don't think, no, we know. He knows what we've done today. He knows our sin. God don't need us filling his holy ears with the foulness and going back over what we've done today. That's not what it's about. When David, the king, was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and he said, these were the words, you're the man.
Exactly.
Nathan finally brought it home to him, didn't he? You're the man. What did David do? Oh, I started off by cowardice. I should have been with the men at battle. And Lord, after that, I connived and schemed to get Uriah. Well, no, first I seen his wife, and I lusted after her. Lord, you know I did this. That was wrong. And Lord, I tried to take her into my home. You know, and Lord, I had Uriah put on the front of the battle. I had him killed in the heat of the battle. Is that what David did? You know what David said? I have sinned against the Lord.
Amen.
God knew the details of what he had done. David knew the details of what he had done. God's not asking us to give him a list.
Exactly.
He is calling upon us to confess, to acknowledge our sin. You remember Isaiah, don't you? He seen the Lord. The one whom those angels, their whole job, as far as we know, throughout, from the time they were created throughout eternity, I don't know exactly how long, but their job is to do what? They fly around that throne, and what do they do all the time, Ellen? Their whole job, their whole existence is based upon saying, holy, 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 and that's all they get to do. Isn't it? That's enough, though, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Holy, 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 and Isaiah finally sees who God really is.
Yeah.
And what does he say? Well, I had this bad thought today. And you know, most people, they think of their list, they usually think of this thing, you ought to confess your sins before you go to sleep tonight because you don't want to die in your sins. See, that's more religious nonsense. If that's the case, if my justification before God is based upon me openly acknowledging even to God everything I've done, I'm a goner because most things I don't realize they're wrong until days or weeks later.
Exactly.
This has nothing to do with some human opinion or structure as how to confess sins. I mean, religious institutions give people every Sunday, probably every Sunday night, every Wednesday, about every time they have a meeting, they give people a chance to confess their sins.
Yeah.
No. What did Isaiah say? I'm a man of unclean lips. Good enough, ain't it?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Isaiah knew it. I mean, he knew it. And Isaiah could taste it. You understand what I'm saying? This ain't just now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. This ain't that. This is about acknowledging before God my utter depravity.
Yes, sir.
And the awful, heinous character of my conduct toward God. And I don't have to name them specifically. That's a bunch of religious nonsense. Let me just give you this. There's 5 minutes left there. Turn to Psalms chapter 38. The 38th Psalm. Now there is a time to confess your sins. Now, you can't have a preemptive confession. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you, I don't know if you're looking for the chapter, you ain't really even heard what I said. You can't have a preemptive confession. Well, God forgive me of this because I'm going to go out and do it today. You might try that.
Yeah.
It don't work. That's not the way it works, you see. not the way it works. But also, it is not getting to the end of the day or whatever. That's what most people think. But you get to the end of the day, it's, okay, I got angry today. I stole an eraser from work. And I had it in my pocket and I brought it home, never did return it. You know, that's the way people think. Now, I will tell you, that's a sin. Stealing is a sin.
That's it.
God doesn't say it's all right as long as it's under $200.
Exactly.
Criminal versus civil, you know. There ain't none of that in God's law. That doesn't work. No, there's a time, but it's not simply at the end of the day. The time is when God Almighty, through His sovereign hand, has brought you low under the not just the knowledge of the sin, but where you can taste it in your being. Look at Psalms chapter 38. I don't have enough time for all this. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. And let me tell you, you don't want to be rebuked in God's wrath.
Amen.
You want to be rebuked in His love.
Exactly.
O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Now the very fact that that is mentioned lets me know God has wrath and there is hot displeasure, and I don't want to be chastened or corrected under that.
Exactly.
Do I?
Yeah.
Listen, for thine arrows stick fast in me. Here's what we're not talking about. Well, I know I did this wrong today, and I can write it down on a list, and then I'll say, God, I did this. God, I'm sorry. God, I did that. God, I'm sorry. Now we're talking about God Almighty doing what? Flinging an arrow at you, and it's sticking fast. You got to stick fast. This ain't a graze. It didn't glance off. He stuck his arrows stuck fast in me, and thy hand does what? Presseth me sore. Now, if you can see him and you're never brought there, God's not dealing with you in His love. He's dealing with you in His hot displeasure. See, most people, when I read that first verse, would say, God, don't be hard on me. Is that what you thought? Huh? I had that thought come to my mind. No, the psalmist is not crying for God not to be hard on him, because when God shoots an arrow in your soul, it's going to be hard on you. Paul says it, no chastening is joyous for the present time, but what?
Grievous.
But it's for my good.
Exactly.
Look at it. Thy hand presseth me sore. God is squeezing the living hell out of you. And I say it, that's what He's doing. He's pressing me sore.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about I messed up today. I need to confess that now. You see what I'm saying? That's the point I'm trying to make. If we confess our sins, ain't calling it off on a list. It's being shot in the soul by God Almighty's arrows. It's being under God's hand and Him squeezing the living daylights out of you. That's what we're talking about. There is no soundness in my flesh. He just said, I have sinned. Singular. You see it? There is no soundness in my flesh because of what? Thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones. Why? Why?
Yeah.
Because of my sin. Now that's what happens to people that Jesus Christ is advocating for.
Yes, sir.
If you can sin and all you do is just feel a little guilty and I just need to get this off my chest with God today. Big difference, ain't it? Big difference. Well, I know I've sinned, but you know we all sin to come short of the glory of God after all. This is far more than just that doctrinal statement, ain't it? This is God Almighty, in love, putting you under His boot and bringing you down to show you what you and your actions really are. Let's go on. For my iniquities are gone over mine head. Now today we think of this, don't we? That went right over his head. This is this. Notice the difference? There's a difference in this. This. That's what it's talking about. In other words, I'm drowning in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how do you know that's what it means? Because I've been there.
Yes, sir.
Because all too often, I live there. And I am, by the blessed advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought not just to know these things, but to taste them.
Yes, sir.
They're a part of my life. You want to talk about living it, Joe? That's what it is to live the Christian life.
Exactly.
Right here.
Yeah.
Look at it. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I can't handle it.
Exactly.
Most people can handle it. Because all I got to do is confess, don't you know?
Yeah.
Huh? You see? Look, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. That's a whole lot more than marking down a list of the things I did wrong today.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And getting them off your chest with God at the end of the day. I am troubled. I am bowed down. Notice, I am. These are all not the passive. I forget the word. This is not us instigating any of this. This is us being acted upon.
Exactly.
I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning. Not M-O-R-N. M-O-U-R-N. All the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That's the way God's people are made to feel when they sin, and this is their confession of their sins. You see it? I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. If you're one of God's and you sin against Him, you will not be able to ultimately keep quiet about it before Him.
Exactly.
Now, you might keep quiet about it before me, and rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
I don't need to know everything you've done.
Yeah.
And whether some of you may not understand this, some of you probably can relate to it to a degree because you've had this person or that person that you were just really close to. And isn't it something when somebody has to call you and they got to pour out the miserable wretchedness of some deed they done that day? Do you know how depressing that is?
Yeah.
It is.
You're right.
Now, I'm not being mean. I understand the need to talk to somebody. But it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And He don't need the list. He had the list before it ever happened.
That's right.
He knew what was going to transpire, David, before He even did it.
Yeah,
you know, He don't need me to fill His holy ears with the foulness of repeating all that over. But see, that's the problem. Most people, when they confess it, they're not talking about how foul it is. Just about how I kind of tripped and stumbled today.
Exactly.
No. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before Thee.
Yeah.
And folk, you know, most people want to put that in a positive light, don't we?
Yeah.
Lord, You know what I really want. That's not what the psalmist is saying. Because look, Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. Lord, You know what's really down in here.
Exactly.
That's what He's talking about. I didn't really mean to do it. Yeah, that's why You did it. Well, I wouldn't have done this if that hadn't happened. Now you're blaming God because He controls the that's. Right? Lord, is that woman You gave me?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Lord, it was that snake slithering around on the tree. If He hadn't have been there, it's true. If He hadn't have been there, David, it would never happen. Who let that snake get in that tree? God did.
Exactly.
God did. Who gave that man that woman? God did.
Yes, sir.
Right? Who put Joseph down there in Egypt? God did. Who made David king?
Yes.
God did. In him we live and move and have our being. God could have made David go to war with the rest of the men like he should have, but he didn't, did he? He didn't. No. Just let me go. Look at it. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it's also gone from me. I don't see things as I ought to. You see, that's what it means to be advocated for by Jesus Christ. That's where he brings you. And let me tell you something. That's a good place to be.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When you sin against God. Now, there's another passage. If y'all, let me see if I can find it here. Turn to chapter 32. Let me see if that's it. Actually, I think it may be 39. But let me look at 32. Yeah, that's it. Verse 32. Look, let me just read this. I want to go back through this a little more, God willing, maybe next week. But look, this is going to sound familiar. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whom spirit there is no guile. Who is that person? We know. That's not Walter's opinion. We know who that person is, don't we? Because Paul, being moved by the Spirit of God in Romans, says who that person is. It's the believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But look, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roin all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. That kind of remind you of the other psalm? Huh? My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Think about that, he says. Selah. Dwell on that, he says. Look, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now think about that. That's good, ain't it? He's forgiving.
Yes,
he forgives us. And look, an amazing statement. For this shall everyone that is sinful pray? Is that what it says? No, that's true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This shall everyone that is convicted?
Yeah.
No, that's true, right? Look at the amazing, complex, seemingly contradictory language.
Yeah.
Huh? For this shall everyone that is godly pray. So godliness don't mean being sinless.
Exactly.
Do it.
That's right.
It means one who is being advocated for by Jesus Christ, and the reality of where I am is the reality of my heart and mind. When I sin against God, God will bring me to know it. He'll bring me to know it. Somebody says when? In his good time.
Yes, sir.
That's the hard part for us. David, Elizabeth, and Penny and I talked about this the other night. You sin, I was going to say you fall. That's true, but you sin against God. And David, it seemed like God just turns you right around in a heartbeat. And you see somebody else, they sin against God, it just seems like they go on, and they go on, and they go on, right? Think about it. Peter denied the Lord three times, and in the third when he cursed and swore, and that couldn't have Joe, that was in a span of hours.
Yeah.
And when they brought Jesus Christ out of that place, and Christ just looked at Peter, what did it say? He went out and wept bitterly.
Amen.
But then think about King David. All of his deceit, accomplice to murder, lust, adultery, conniving, took place in a span of almost at least somewhere around 9 months. Didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Before God Almighty ever brought him down. And you know what? God doesn't ever say 9 months is the limit.
That's exactly right.
That's the hard part. Especially for us, because we want it done now.
Yeah.
Especially if God did it to me now. Why don't he do it to them now?
Exactly.
That's God's business.
Amen.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
And I've got one more illustration from you. Or for you. From you, yeah, it's probably from us too. His name's called Lot. Last words we hear about that man is in a cave with these two daughters doing despicable things. And yet the scripture, hundreds of years later, calls him a just and righteous man. Does it not? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
God does according to his good pleasure. And you see, the thing about it is, we really think that all of this confession, somehow it's always got to be brought into the public. I've got to know about it if somebody else did it. That ain't the way it works, is it? We confess our sins to who? God.
Amen.
And he's the one that dealt with them. And he's the one that deals with us in love in it. And he's the one that brings us around from it. And he's the only one that needs see it. If that's the way he ordained it.
Exactly.
That's tough for us. Because see, we want to see it too, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
That's what confession of sin is. So, you know, if you're used to praying, now I lay me down to sleep tonight and kind of rattling off a list when you get done with that, thinking it's all, everything's going to be better tomorrow. That ain't the way these people who confess their sins felt, is it? It's not the way it is. Now, there's more. But let me stop with that. Father, before we take this table, may our hearts and minds be upon the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it truly be. May it be by your Spirit, by your grace, your enablement. May it truly be that we do it in remembrance of him. I ask in his name. Amen. Joe and Paul, would y'all? And I'm sorry, y'all, I went a little long. But.